Volume testing belongs to the group of non-functional tests, which are often misunderstood and/or used interchangeably. Volume testing refers to testing a software application with a certain amount of data. This amount can, in generic terms, be the database size, or it could also be the size of an interface file that is the subject of volume testing. For example, to volume test an application with a specific database size, the database is expanded to that size and the application's performance is tested on it. Another example is when there is a requirement for the application to interact with an interface file. This interaction could be reading from and/or writing to the file. A sample file is created of the appropriate size and is then tested through the application's functionality with that file in order to test the performance. Security testing is a process to determine that an information system protects data and maintains functionality as intended. The six basic security concepts that need to be covered by security testing are confidentiality, integrity, authentication, authorization, availability, and non-repudiation. Scalability testing, part of the battery of non-functional tests, is the testing of a software application for measuring its capability to scale up or scale out in terms of any of its non-functional capability, be it the user load supported, the number of transactions, the data volume, etc. Performance, scalability, and reliability are usually considered together by software quality analysts. A sanity test, or sanity check, is a basic test to quickly evaluate whether a claim or the result of a calculation can possibly be true. The point of a sanity test is to rule out certain classes of obviously false results, not to catch every possible error. In arithmetic, for example, when multiplying by 9, using the divisibility rule for 9 to verify that the sum of digits of the result is divisible by 9 is a sanity test. It will not catch every multiplication error. However, it's a quick and simple method to discover many possible errors. In computer science, a sanity test is a very brief run-through of the functionality of a computer program, system, calculation, or other analysis to assure that the system or methodology works as expected, often prior to a more exhaustive round of testing. Smoke testing is a subset of all defined plan test cases that cover the main functionality of a component or system for ascertaining that the most crucial functions of a program work, but not bothering with finer details. The purpose is to determine whether or not the application is so badly broken that testing functionality in a more detailed way is unnecessary. Exploratory testing seeks to find out how the software actually works and to ask questions about how it will handle difficult and easy cases. The quality of the testing is dependent on the tester's skill of inventing test cases and finding defects. The more the tester knows about the product and different test methods, the better the testing will be. Ad hoc testing is a commonly used term for testing performed without planning and documentation. The tests are intended to be run only once unless a defect is discovered. Ad hoc testing is a part of exploratory testing, being the least formal of test methods. Ad hoc testing is often criticized because it isn't structured, but this can also be a strength, as important issues may be found quickly. It is performed with improvisation. The tester seeks to find bugs with any means that seem appropriate. Ad hoc testing is most often used as a complement to other types of testing. Regression testing is any type of software testing that seeks to uncover software errors by partially retesting a modified program. The intent of regression testing is to provide a general assurance that no additional errors were introduced in the process of fixing other problems. Regression testing is commonly used to test a system efficiently by systematically selecting the appropriate minimum suite of tests needed to adequately cover the affected change. Regression testing methods include rerunning previously run tests and checking whether previously fixed faults have reemerged. A good reason for regression testing is that it's often extremely difficult to figure out how a change in one part of the system will echo in other parts. Reliability theory developed apart from the mainstream of probability and statistics. It was originally a tool to help 19th century maritime and life insurance companies compute profitable rates to charge their customers. Even today, the terms failure rate and hazard rate are often used interchangeably. The failure of mechanical devices, such as ships, trains, and cars, is similar in many ways to the life or death of biological organisms. Statistical models appropriate for any of these topics are generally called time-to-event models. Death or failure is called an event, and the goal is to project or forecast the rate of events for a given population, or the probability of an event for an individual. When reliability is considered from the perspective of the consumer of a technology or service, actual reliability measures may differ dramatically from perceived reliability. One bad experience can be magnified in the mind of the customer, inflating the perceived unreliability of the product. One plane crash where hundreds of passengers die will immediately instill fear in a large percentage of the flying consumer population, regardless of actual reliability data about the safety of air travel. Reliability period of any object is measured within the durability period of that object. Installation testing is a kind of quality assurance work in industry that focuses on what customers will need to do to install and set up the new system successfully. The testing process may involve the full, partial, or upgrade, install, uninstall processes. Maintenance testing is that testing which is performed to either identify or diagnose equipment problems or to confirm that repair measures have been effective. It can be performed at either the system level, such as the HVAC system, the equipment level, the blower in an HVAC line, or the component level, a control chip in the control box for the blower in the HVAC line. In software testing, recovery testing is the activity of testing how well an application is able to recover from crashes, hardware failures, and other similar problems. Recovery testing is the forced failure of the software in a variety of ways to verify that recovery is properly performed. Recovery testing should not be confused with reliability testing, which tries to discover the specific point at which the failure occurs. Here are two examples of recovery testing. While an application is running, suddenly restart the computer and afterwards check the validness of the application's data integrity. While an application is receiving data from a network, unplug the connecting cable. After some time, plug the cable back in and analyze the application's ability to continue receiving data from the point at which the network connection disappeared. Accessibility is a general term used to describe the degree to which a product, service, device, or environment is accessible by as many people as possible. Accessibility should not be confused with usability, which describes the extent to which the system can be used by specified users to achieve specified goals with effectiveness, efficiency, and satisfaction in a specified context of use. The Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002 requires that adequate internal controls be in place for information security. An Information Security Management System, ISMS, is focused on managing information security within a company. It ensures an organization is measuring and managing their information security processes in a structured manner and that they can control and sharpen their system to meet their business needs. In the following slides, we discuss some of the concepts of managing system support and security. Companies of all sizes spend a significant amount of their IT budgets on software and systems. New applications can automate tasks previously done manually or provide easier and faster accomplishment of tasks previously performed using older software, thus enhancing productivity. But bottom line benefits of these upgrades will not be evident unless the end users can successfully make the transition. Companies provide user support in many forms, including user training and a help desk to provide technical support and assistance. The first objective in providing user training is minimizing any productivity losses associated with the transition. Then the system needs to help users do their jobs more quickly, accurately, and/or securely than before. With user training, we often create a department or site champion, meaning we train that person completely and use that person as a first line of support. We also train the other users in the champions area, but not so extensively. The help desk is a centralized resource staffed by IT professionals who provide users with the support they need to do their jobs. The help desk has three main objectives: show people how to use system resources more effectively, provide answers to technical or operational questions, and make users more productive by teaching them how to meet their own information needs. It is or should be the first place users turn when they need information or assistance. The help desk doesn't replace traditional IT maintenance and support activities. Instead, help desks enhance productivity and improve utilization of a company's information resources. In addition to functioning as a valuable link between IT staff and users, the help desk is a central contact point for all IT maintenance activities. The help desk is where users report system problems and ask for maintenance or submit new systems requests. Systems maintenance is a catch-all term used to describe various forms of computer or server maintenance required to keep a computer system running properly. IT maintenance can often take hours to complete, and IT professionals often describe the work as system maintenance to avoid the timely explanations required for more specific language. In describing network maintenance, it could mean that servers are being physically repaired, replaced, or moved. Network maintenance can also mean that the software for a server is being updated, changed, or repaired. This sort of maintenance is typically performed on a regular or semi-regular schedule, often during non-peak usage hours, and keeps servers running smoothly. When websites are inaccessible due to attacks from hackers, server problems, or for updating and repair, the administrators of the website will often display an image apologizing for the system maintenance and website downtime. This allows users to understand that the website cannot be used and the administrators are aware of the issue. Corrective maintenance diagnoses and fixes errors and problems in an operational system. It includes, but is not limited to, the finding and fixing of logic errors, replacing defective network cabling, restoring proper configuration settings, program code debugging, driver updates, and installation of software patches. Adaptive maintenance adds new features and capabilities to an operational system and makes the system easier to use. It adapts the system to changing requirements and includes adding online capability, creating new reports, adding new data entry fields to the input screen, the installation of links onto the website, and creating and maintaining the employee portal. Perfective maintenance changes an operational system to make it more efficient, reliable, or maintainable. Here there will be the installation of additional memory, the writing of macros to handle repetitive tasks, compressing system files, the optimization of user desktop settings, developing a library for code reuse, and the installation of more powerful network servers. Preventive maintenance avoids future problems by the analysis of areas where trouble is likely to occur. When someone performs preventative maintenance, it is usually because a potential problem or security threat has been recognized with a computer or server, and the system administrators are working to deal with the issue before it becomes a true problem. This sort of maintenance is often seen as unnecessary or inconvenient by users who find work interrupted by the sudden need to fix an issue that has not yet affected the user. Preventative maintenance includes the installation of new antivirus software, development of a standard backup schedule, implementation of regular defragmentation processes, the analysis of problem reports for patterns and tightening of all cable connections. It often results in increased user satisfaction, decreased downtime, and reduced TCO. It keeps users from encountering far more serious problems and is essential to continued system reliability. System maintenance requires effective management, quality assurance, and cost control achieved through strategies such as maintenance teams, maintenance management programs, configuration management processes, and maintenance release procedures. The maintenance team consists of a system administrator who manages computer and network systems, systems analysts who investigate and quickly locate the source of a problem, and programmers who write the code. Maintenance requests are formalized processes to document and get correct problems. Users submit most requests for corrective and adaptive maintenance when the system is not performing properly or if they want new features. IT staff members usually initiate requests for perfective and preventive maintenance. A typical process begins on submission of the maintenance request when an initial determination is made by the systems analyst as to whether the request is justifiable or not, needs to be handled immediately or not, and whether the request can be performed within a pre-authorized cost level. If the cost exceeds the predetermined cost level or will require a major configuration change, the systems review committee decides whether to proceed and assigns a priority to it. The system administrator assigns maintenance tasks to individuals or teams for completion. Users who submit maintenance requests expect a prompt response and should be kept informed of the decisions or actions that will affect them. Because there are many new development and maintenance activities, requests must be prioritized. The important objective is to have a procedure that balances new development and necessary maintenance work to provide the best support for business requirements and priorities. Configuration Management, CM, is the process for controlling changes in system requirements during software development. It is an important tool for managing system changes and costs after a system becomes operational. Keeping track of all documentation and ensuring that updates are distributed properly are important aspects of configuration management. In a maintenance release methodology, all non-critical changes are held until they can be implemented at the same time. Each change is documented and installed as a new version of the system called a maintenance release. Commercial software suppliers such as Microsoft provide maintenance releases, often called service packs. Version control is the process of tracking system releases or versions. When the newest version of a system is installed, the prior release is archived or stored. If there are problems with the new release, the prior version can be reinstalled. Baselines are formal reference points measuring system characteristics at specific times. Functional baselines are the configuration of the system documented at the beginning of the project. The functional baseline consists of all the necessary system requirements and design constraints. Allocated baselines document the system at the end of the design phase and identifies the changes since the functional baseline. The allocated baseline includes testing and verification of all system requirements and features. Product baselines describe the system at the beginning of system operation and includes the result of performance and acceptance tests for the operational system. To guarantee acceptable support for business operations, the IT department needs to manage system faults and interruptions, measure system performance and workload, and anticipate future needs. Fault management monitors the system for signs of trouble, logging all system failures, diagnosing problems, and applying corrective actions. System performance is measured with benchmark testing that uses a set of standard tests to evaluate system performance and capacity. Metrics are performance measurements that monitor the number of transactions processed in a given time period, the number of records accessed, and the volume of online data. Network performance metrics include response time, bandwidth, throughput, and turnaround time. Response time is the overall time between a request for system activity and the delivery of the response. In general, users expect an immediate response and are frustrated by apparent lags or delays. Of all performance measurements, response time is the one that users notice and complain about the most. Bandwidth describes the amount of data that the system can transfer in a fixed time period and is expressed in kilobits, megabits, or gigabits per second. Throughput measures actual system performance under specific circumstances and is affected by network loads and hardware efficiencies. It, too, is expressed as a data transfer rate, such as kbips, mbips, or gbips. Turnaround time applies to centralized batch processing operations, such as customer billing or credit card statement processing, and measures the time between submitting a request for information and the fulfillment of the request. Management uses current performance and workload data as input for the capacity planning process. Capacity planning is the process that monitors current activity and performance levels, anticipates future activity, and forecasts the resources needed to provide requirement levels of service. First, a current model based on the system's present workload and performance specification is developed. Then demand is projected along the user requirements over a 1 to 3 year time period. An analysis of the model will show what is needed to maintain satisfactory performance and meet requirements. The what-if analysis allows the varying of one or more elements in a model to measure the effect on other elements. The main objective of capacity planning is to make sure the system meets all future demands and provides effective support for business operations.